When life gets harder, you get smarter. You don't mission, you level up like a boss. Connect Vox Fibre to your homes, starting from 554 Rand per month. Level up your experience with Airtime's Wi-Fi boosters, Vobi Voice app calling, Office 365, and over 160 other products to enhance your lifestyle. Live smart. Level up with Vox. Visit vox.co.za to view our range. T's and C's apply.
I'm Richard van den Berg.
And I'm Duncan MacLeod.
This is Talk Central, episode 258 for the week starting 5 May 2019.
Talk Central is brought to you by Tech Central. Join our YouTube stream live on Sundays at 1 p.m.
On Talk Central this week, Takealot gets physical.
Also on the show this week, MTN shakes up its board and hires some political heavy hitters, ICASA versus the communications minister, and Netflix's new high-quality audio adjusts to match your internet speeds.
Ooh, it's Sunday afternoon. We're live streaming on YouTube and on live.techcentral.co.za, and it's time to talk everything tech.
Fancy, fancy. Well, welcome to the show. How's it, Rehat?
How's it, Duncan?
Very good, thanks. So I see you've been gallivanting around the Eastern Cape. That's where you come from originally, right?
Yeah, kind of.
That's where you grew up.
Not born there, but raised there, so to speak.
Okay.
That's my hood, yeah, and I love that place. But spent some time on a farm.
Yeah. Whereabouts? And,
in the Eastern Cape, close to Grahamstown, like 40 k's out of Grahamstown. Just spent some time there. It was great. Nice to get off the grid a bit. Nice 4G connectivity though, but nice to get off the grid, so to speak.
no fiber to the farm.
No, not yet. One day. When that happens, I will move. That's for sure.
Yeah. That's a beautiful part of the world. I don't know it very well, but I have been through there a few times. Grahamstown itself, though, is in a bit of a shocking state at the moment. Did you go into the town?
Yeah, I drove through it. I mean, I don't know. It's the first time I've actually been there. So I drove through it. Yeah, it looked bad. It looked in disarray.
The place is falling to pieces. The municipality is bankrupt. Apparently, it's just fallen to pieces. There's no government there anymore. No services being delivered. All a bit of a shocking state.
And it looks the part, unfortunately. I mean,
it's terrible.
Taxis go rampage there, which is also crazy for a small town. When I was driving through early in the morning, taxis were just making a bit of a scene.
Yeah.
But it's very sad though. It's a beautiful, beautiful little town.
Yeah, university town. I really don't know it. I think I drove through there once about 2 decades ago, but I really don't know it. But the Eastern Cape is beautiful. I love the photos you shared online of the Nguni cows, the huge horns.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, beautiful cows, eh? Yeah. And also, I mean, you know, they're kind of very signature to that area, right?
Yeah.
Especially on the beaches.
Yeah.
If you've ever been down to the beach in any of the wild coast areas, you probably would have seen them walking around on the beach, which is quite a sight as well.
Yeah, absolutely.
Love it.
Great. So just a reminder, we are now broadcasting live on YouTube on Sundays around 1 p.m. Please do join us. Subscribe to our YouTube channel. Just search Tech Central on YouTube. I'm sure you'll find it. We actually have two YouTube channels there. Just look for the one that says TC and hit that subscribe button, and you'll be notified when we go live again. We'll be live most Sunday afternoons. We weren't live last Sunday because, Richard, you were in the Eastern Cape, and we won't be live again next Sunday because I am going to be in Mauritius, of all places. Richard, I think I might be back in time to do the podcast next Sunday. I'll have to let you know.
Cool.
I must check my flight details, but I think I might just be back in time, and we might do a show next Sunday.
And I'm not just show from remote location. Just take your kit with you, right?
Yes, from a Mauritian beach. But I'm looking forward to next show because we're doing a lot of work in the studio here. This backdrop is going to look very different next week, and investing in some infrastructure, some new lighting, and all that sort of thing. Hopefully, be ready for next Sunday's show. Assuming we do a show next Sunday, which I think we're actually going to now that I remember my flight details. Quite exciting. I'm enjoying the YouTube stuff. So please do subscribe. If you do miss it live on a Sunday, we will post the video along with our usual audio link on the website. And of course, we'll still be available through all of your favorite podcatchers, including Spotify, Google Podcasts, Pocket Casts, Apple iTunes, and I'm no doubt missing quite a few. But we'll be available through all the normal audio channels as well if you prefer to listen to us in your car or even at your desk.
We definitely look better on the podcast platforms, I think.
That's true. We need to find some sort of video enhancement software that does us some justice during the live calls. But here we go. If you can put up with our ugly mugs, do join us on our video version of our podcast.
It's a lot more effort these days, right? I remember just getting up, rolling out of bed, doing the podcast. Now I actually have to,
comb your hair,
make it a bit of effort, shaved. Putting a lot of work through on this podcast, Duncan.
Yeah, it's tough. You even think about what you wear on a Sunday morning when you get up now, right?
crazy.
All right, enough frivolity. Let's get into this more serious stuff. Let's do our quiz first of all. Rehat, do you want to do the first question?
Yes, first question. Who was appointed to chair a new advisory board for MTN Group?
And what is the name of the new 24-hour news channel on DSTV that launched last week, replacing the now-defunct Gupta-owned ANN7?
Third question. Takealot launched a new flagship customer collection center in Gauteng this week. Where is it located?
And I went along to the launch of that. It's quite interesting. We'll talk about it shortly. Which former Google CEO said he's stepping down from the board of parent Alphabet?
And the final question, how long will former WikiLeaks editor Julian Assange spend in jail in UK for skipping bail when he sought refuge in the Ecuadorian embassy in London?
As always, the answers to the quiz at the end of the show. But let's dive into this week's news. And in fact, let's start with the Takealot story. I popped along to the launch this week. We first reported that they were going to be doing this, I think towards the end of last year. And so if you've been eagle-eyed, if you drive along the N1, which is that very busy highway between Johannesburg and Pretoria, in fact, it runs all the way from Cape Town to Musina, but if you drive the section through Midrand, you might have noticed the Takealot work happening on the new road bridge over the highway in Midrand. And what they've done is they've built a flagship customer collection center, which I think is fantastic news. It's always been a bit of a bugbear of mine with Takealot in that you order something, you have it delivered to your home address, you never know if you're actually going to be there. You have to pop out, and inevitably you're not there, and you either have to phone one of your neighbors and ask them to take the delivery for you, or you have to ask them to come back another time. It's a bit of a pain, and often it means you end up sitting at home when you need to be at the office, or you need to be out at a meeting, or whatever it is you need to be doing, or just enjoying your life. So I really like the ability to be able to deliver to a collections point. Now, Cape Townian Takealot users have been able to do this for quite a long time at their Milnerton office in Gauteng. Even though they've got a huge distribution center on the East Rand near the airport, you haven't been able to go there to collect your goods. And I think a lot of people don't really want to have to go all the way out to the East Rand to collect anyway. So I think this is a really good idea. But what's exciting, not only that they've developed this flagship one in Midrand, is that they've actually launched 25 of these collection centers now around the country. They're dotted all over the place. They certainly don't all look like the one in Midrand. I actually picked up something from the one in Stratton Park in Randburg the other day, it's just a little room basically in the industrial part of Randburg. But it was really convenient because I was driving past there, I could pick it up. And I will be using those pickup points in future. There's one in Bryanston as well, which I may end up using.
I didn't know there were so many around.
They've just launched them. They've just launched them recently. So if you go next time you place an order on Takealot, you can select if you want to pick it up from a collections point, and you can select one of these 25 or so collection points they've got around the country. The idea, according to Takealot CEO Kim Reid, is that you're going to be able to it'll detect your location and automatically suggest your collection point in future, which makes sense, especially if you're using a smartphone. And they're planning to increase the number in the next 12 months to about 50 collection points around the country. So that's quite a dense network of collection points. So I'd imagine there'd be at least 10 or 12 in Joburg by this time next year. Very convenient. I think it's fantastic. But I thought it was a genius idea by Takealot to set up on the N1, the new road bridge in Midrand. And for anyone who doesn't live in Johannesburg or Pretoria and who doesn't know this bridge, it really is straddling the busiest highway in South Africa, and I think it actually may be the busiest highway in Africa, stand to correction there. And it's available on both sides. So you basically come off the off ramp at the bridge. There's a garage there. I think it's a total garage heading north and engine garage heading south. The whole place has been refurbished. There are very nice fast food restaurants there now, including a Kwai. There's a KFC, a couple of other restaurants, there's little shops.
Lunch and a pickup, basically. Lunch and a product pickup.
Yeah, exactly. Very convenient. And you know, you're often driving along that highway to go somewhere. And you walk into the collection center. And it looks fantastic. They've got this huge decorative board. I'm not sure what the artistic inspiration of it was, but it looks really, really nice. There's a waiting area with seats, maybe 50 seats or so, and a big screen. You walk into this place. There's a little tablet. You scan your QR code on your phone, which you got from your order. It'll then automatically process it. It asks you to sit down, and then you wait for your order to be delivered. And then upstairs, they've got a huge area which actually straddles the entire highway. It's what was the old Maxi's restaurant, for anyone who knew that facility. We had a tour up there, and it's basically just shelving space where they're going to temporarily store all the customer orders. So what happens, you walk in, you scan your QR code, you sit down. Upstairs, a dispatcher is alerted that you've arrived and you're waiting for your order. They immediately go and collect it from one of the shelves wherever it's located. They put it on a conveyor belt. I think it's more for design than for anything practical, but it comes down this beautiful spiral conveyor belt into the waiting area, into the front desk, where it gets processed by one of the customer service representatives. You are then pinged to come to the front on the big screen. Your name appears on the big screen and says your order is ready. You walk up, you collect it, off you go. Really clever.
Does it announce what you ordered? Dear Mr. McLeod, your collection of
sex toys.
Dirty magazines is ready for collection.
No, I don't think it does that. It
would be I'm waiting for the first prank YouTube show on that. You heard it here first.
But well done to Takealot. I think it's a good investment, and I think it's a practical alternative, and it works well. I mean, you know, a lot of people, it solves a lot of issues. I think for people who have a 9-to-5 desk job in a company, then simply having your order delivered to the company is easy. You just get the front desk to sign for it, and there's your collection. You put it in your car at the end of the day, and you drive home. But, you know, what if you're on the road all the time? What if you're a small business owner and you don't have a fixed abode, and you want to order stuff online? It's very convenient. And I think it's really good. And I do wonder if Takealot will be open to other e-commerce providers using this as a fulfillment platform. Possibly not. Superbalist, you can already order Superbalist stuff and have it delivered there, obviously, because they're owned by Takealot. But yeah, I think it's an important improvement and an important move forward in e-commerce. And I think it's going to do wonders for Takealot sales revenue.
Look, I am amazed at how far we've come. It's 2019, and we've invented in-store pickup again.
Yes.
Think about it. Yeah. But yes, no, the idea is fantastic. I mean, the last few times I've ordered online, I've actually used Pargo, which is a pretty cool service as well that allows you to drop off, pick up at Clicks, sorry. Clicks around the countries, which is a great idea because, you know, like all the reasons you listed, not at home all the time, moving up and down, you know, maybe you're away, whatever. The only problem with some of these, and I'm sure Takealot won't have this issue, but Pargo, they send it back after a few days, which is a little silly. I mean, you know, you kind of need to keep it there for a little while at least. I know space can be a premium, but yes. The idea of, ordering online, picking up, as long as that process can be quick, it'll be awesome. You know, every time I've been to the Click Spargo, it's taken, you know, longer than what it should have probably because people are still getting used to the system.
But
I don't see that happening at the Takealot branch. I mean, they certainly seem to be following a nice model, an Amazon model, if I can put it like that.
Fantastic. Well done, Takealot. We've got a comment on the YouTube live stream. Frank Retief says, ugly mugs? No, not so bad. You do fine on video. Well, thanks, Frank. buttering us up.
And now we censored for the entire show. Thank you.
What's that?
Censored for the entire show.
No more video.
We should do a show with those animated emoticons.
Snap scan style.
Yeah, that's all the rage now.
It was all the rage in 2017. I don't know about now.
Well, we should, with the tech that's out now, we should be able to actually recreate full VR versions of ourselves to do this podcast in real time. I mean, if we call ourselves techies, we should be striving to that.
Yeah. So what?
Then I can be sitting in a full battle suit, gun in my hand.
Is that PUBG behind you?
Oh, yes. Ready to go when the podcast is done.
Right. So you'll come as you'll come dressed as your favorite PUBG character.
Which is what I'm wearing now. T-shirt and jeans. That's all you need. And a gun.
Are you drinking that Brute IPA you told me about the other day?
No. That's a pretty majestic beer. You don't want to be drinking that just on any kind of podcast. It'll get you hammered.
Oh, it's a strong beer. Yeah.
Yeah, it's pretty strong.
Let's talk about it, actually, because I think a lot of our listeners are beer drinkers as well. And I was fascinated. Brute IPA. Now, I know about IPA. It stands for India Pale Ale, right?
Yeah, India Pale Ale, based on the style. So it's just a very hoppy beer, very hoppy beer style.
Now, there are different types of IPA. There's Imperial IPA, which is a strong IPA?
Yeah, Imperial, it's double IPA, essentially. So it's just stronger. Yeah, I mean, I'm not a beer judge. I don't distinct the style so much. I mean, but yeah, double IPA, Imperial IPA is usually kind of double your money's value worth in good beer drinking value, and it's much stronger as well.
Okay.
Usually end off with that on the night.
Right.
But the Brute IPA, yeah, it's something new. It's a new style that's kind of all the rage in America. Now, if you're following kind of craft beer styles, you know that we've just kind of hit and missed the New England IPA. I hope we get a lot more of that kind of style beer, because I'm a big fan of that. It's just a hazy IPA. It's kind of a nice, trendy beer, but it's also very delicious.
Yeah.
Now everybody's jumping on the Brute IPA because it's
the latest thing.
Yeah, it's the latest thing, and it's a fantastic beer. But yeah, it's I had one last night after I showed you. I didn't have not in the can, so I didn't have one in the can. I had it on tap, and it was pretty impressive. Yeah.
Yeah. And what is it? I mean, it's styled on champagne, I believe.
Yeah, it's I don't know exactly how they brew it, but I believe it's brewed the same way you would, it's fermented the same way you would ferment a champagne, which using the same yeasts or something like that. I'm not really, like I said, I'm still discovering the style. But I believe it's just the ingredients, and then it's got that very fine bubble, that kind of bubble effect. You know that dryness that a champagne normally has? It's got that exact kind of taste after the hoppiness, which is actually fantastic. So Devil Speaks bring it us. There's one or two other brewers that I've seen also doing it, but Devil Speaks is the only one doing it in kind of bigger numbers now, but I believe it's quite limited. I don't know if they're probably experimenting, but yeah, I think it'll do well, because it's also the kind of set of celebration beer too, if I can put it like that. It's the kind of thing you can, have at a wedding or have at a nice event if you're a beer drinker, you want to celebrate. But yeah, very special.
I'm going to have to try some after your, have they run out? It was at your local, right? Craft Beer Library.
Craft Beer Library, yes. We're actually going after the show, so if anybody's around, definitely. there's only one keg there, so you might want to hurry up before we drink it all.
All right, I better get there.
Bring the camera, Duncan, we can vlog it.
They're going to be making a lot more of it, I'm sure, though, right?
Yeah, but the nice thing about having it on tap, it's just kind of beautiful and fresh. I'm sure the cans will be around, but it'll be interesting to see how many places will actually do it. Maybe the fancier places, the Parkhurst type places would have it on tap.
Is it priced premiumly as well, or is it same as regular craft beer?
It's maybe a little bit more expensive. I actually don't know the price offhand, but I don't think it's. I mean, the bill wasn't exorbitant. It was the same as the kind of the normal 50, 60 rand a beer. So, the can might be 35 odd rand, I think.
Okay.
But I stand to be corrected.
Right. After that interruption for Beer Central, let's get back to
beer upset of the week.
So let's talk a bit about MTN, because they made some big major board announcements, big board changes this week, and appointed a new advisory board, which I thought was very, very interesting. They first of all, they have announced the appointment, as expected, of BC Jonas, the former deputy finance minister, as their new chairman. He's going to replace the long-serving Putuma Nhleko, who was the CEO for a long time, and who returned as in the acting CEO capacity after the exit of Sifiso Dibengwa after the nightmare in Nigeria unfolded a few years ago. MTN seems to be heading onto a more stable platform now, and they Nhleko is stepping aside. Jonas is stepping up. He's going to be in the role as kind of an acting capacity up until December, and then Nhleko steps down. They've made a number of other big board changes as well, really signaling that they're heading in a new direction. But what really interests me is they've announced a new strategic advisory board. Some serious heavy hitters have appointed to this strategic advisory board, including South Africa's former president, Thabo Mbeki, who will serve as the chairman. And other members include the former president of Ghana, John Kofua. I'd love to know how much these guys are getting paid to join the strategic advisory board, which, by the way, doesn't have any fiduciary responsibilities. It's they're merely in an advisory and strategic role. But maybe there's an argument that they need advice and they need a strategic advisory board of this kind, given that markets in which they operate and some of the troubles they've gotten themselves into in recent years. There's also a senior person from Nigeria whose name I have forgotten, no doubt important as well, given that Nigeria is such an important market to them, and that is the country where many of their troubles have occurred. But an interesting development anyway. Interesting that so many politicians and former politicians are now involved in MTN, either in an advisory role or on the board itself. Interesting times anyway. And maybe just a reflection of some of the lessons that MTN has learned, and the fact that it realizes it has to deal in some very troubled markets and with some very tough political situations, as it's learned to its great cost in Nigeria.
Yeah, look, you summed it up. Look, I think definitely advice. Sometimes you have to ask, you have to wonder if companies get the right advisors on board, if you look at some of the decisions that's been made. But let's hope things turn around for them.
Absolutely. So, ICASA, speaking of politics, ICASA versus the Minister of Communications, Delinda Benny Abrams. Now, this was a fascinating story. The City Press reported, when was it, last Sunday? It was last Sunday, that ICASA was threatening to take the minister to court over her allegedly threatening not to give it the first tranche of its annual budget, an amount of over 100 million rand. Interesting move. Was about to start following it up on a Monday morning when ICASA called a press conference at very short notice. Please come to Pretoria. We'd like to talk about this. So I expected to go through there to hear that they had resolved the issue, as these things tend to get resolved when they get into the headlines. Anyway, I get through to Pretoria and was very surprised to listen to ICASA and several of its councillors call a very sternly worded or to say in very stern words that they are filing papers at the High Court in Pretoria to ensure that the minister stops interfering and basically that she needs to respect that this institution is independent under Chapter 9 of South Africa's Constitution. And basically, and I'm paraphrasing here, these are not their words, how dare you do this? Very interesting development. It then transpired, I think it was just hours later, it may have been the next day, that the minister had intervened and chided her accounting officer, who's the Director General, Mabuse Nkuna, and told her to release the funds to ICASA. She hadn't been aware of it, or it hadn't been brought to her attention, and she made it clear that she wasn't very happy with ICASA dragging this issue through the press, not surprisingly. The money was transferred, but it appears in reading the City Press story and reading between the lines of what some of the ICASA councillors were saying was that it appears that the ICASA wanted to push ahead in terms of its annual performance plan with 5G licensing, the licensing of 5G spectrum during the coming financial year. And the City Press report suggesting that the minister was unhappy about this 5G licensing being included in the annual performance plan because as she allegedly wanted to take the glory for any announcements around 5G licensing. I don't know if it's 5G specific or whether it extended to 4G licensing as well, or just spectrum licensing more broadly. But it wouldn't surprise me. I mean, politicians love to take the glory. But at the end of the day, spectrum licensing is an administrative function of the regulator. Certainly the minister is entitled to issue a policy direction, which she's supposed to do and hasn't done. She's now said it's going to happen sometime after the election. And then ICASA can take that policy direction under advisement in crafting the whatever mechanism it is it uses in allocating that spectrum, whether it's a spectrum auction or whatever it is. And I think they will take it under advisement. But the minister is not responsible for licensing spectrum in South Africa. That is the job of the regulator. It's an administrative function and shouldn't be politicized. Yeah. Interesting stuff. I think it just suggests that, perhaps this minister, and without having heard her side of the story, to be fair, but perhaps it suggests that this minister doesn't quite understand the boundaries between the regulator and the executive arm of government, or perhaps she chooses not to recognize the barriers between the two. Whatever it is concerning. We don't need political interference in this process. We're already so far behind with the licensing of spectrum. We just need the administrators, and that's ICASA, to get on with the job, to do it efficiently and in a way that's not going to damage the sector, and in a way that will in fact help the sector. But it was interesting insights behind the scenes into some of the relationship between the regulator and the minister. As I mentioned, the minister had promised to issue the policy direction to ICASA on spectrum licensing by the end of April, which she failed to do. Which surprised me a little bit, because we are going into an election, and I would have thought that the ANC would have been very keen to be seen to be moving quickly on that issue now, within just a week to go to the election. But no, she announced it's been postponed until sometime in the sixth administration of this government. The problem with that is she might not be the Minister of Communications after the election. There's a chance. I don't know how real that chance is, but there's always a chance. They shall get redeployed, and the worry then is we're going to get another minister in who doesn't know the sector, and could therefore take months or longer to get up to speed on all the issues, the complexities around this issue, and making sure that policy direction is correctly worded. So it's worrying. It's interesting, but also worrying. One hopes that there is some rapid movement on this immediately after the election. But given what's happened in the past, I must say I'm terribly hopeful.
Yeah, sadly, history is not given us something to be hopeful about.
Unfortunately not.
Now, just kind of segueing from that, we didn't talk about the story before the time, but did you read the story on The Guardian about meteorologists' concern on 5G technology?
I did see something about that, interfering with satellite signals or something.
No, kind of more than that. So one example on the list is the frequency of water, the frequency that water vapor emits at 23.8 gigahertz is it's a specific wavelength that in nature could get impacted by this. So, detecting the amount of water vapor in air, for example, could be affected, or getting accurate readings for the water vapor in air.
Interesting.
Could be affected. And there's a few other examples that they also list there.
So that's not a tropical cyclone moving into Maputo. It's actually just a 5G base station.
Sorry, just getting updates now. No, it's actually just a normal rainstorm.
It's interesting. So 23.5 gigahertz. Is that a 23.8. Is that a 5G frequency band? I often hear 26 and 28 spoken about, but not 23.8 specifically.
Yeah, I'm not 100% sure. There's a few other frequencies I list too, 36 to 37 gigahertz. It does raise an interesting question. I mean, regardless of which current technology is impacting those frequencies, I mean, inevitably those frequencies would be used by something, right? I mean, whether it's actual usable like Wi-Fi related data stuff or something, IoT related. Yeah, it's interesting. I wonder how many people are actually looking at this. How many of the tech guys are actually looking at this? As I wonder if Huawei is looking at this.
Hmm.
Probably not. Eh?
Interesting. I'm just going to have a look at that article. Last item of news this week is, Rechat, something you picked up, and that's Netflix's new high-quality audio adjusts to match your internet speeds. So, no, firstly, I know they were launching new high-quality audio codecs. Are they charging more for this?
No. So this will be part of the base technology. So, I mean, it'll just be part of Netflix, right? Mm. But one of the reasons that makes Netflix such a great service is the way it adapts to your bandwidth. I mean, it's probably better than most other services out there, you know, with their CD and around the world. You know, the quality of a Netflix stream is generally better than the quality of anything else, any of its other competitors. So to date, only the video has been adaptive bitrate, has had adaptive bitrate for video. So as your bandwidth increases or decreases, or capacity in your bandwidth, your stream would obviously improve. They're trying to obviously do everything before you actually buffer, trying to get rid of the buffer. Not that we know much about buffers these days, right? Yay, fiber.
Mother, with audio, what's that ad? Mother, buffer. Mother Web buffer. Africa, I think it is.
Great ad, yeah. Yes. But, buffering is always a big issue. So to date with audio, what has happened is that your audio quality would be determined by the quality of your connection speed at the beginning. So, and it won't be adaptive. So now what they've done is they've increased the audio quality on 5.1 audio to 640K and on Dolby Atmos to 768K. And then that's adaptive, wow, obviously, depending on your connection speed. So that'll drop down to as low as 192 on a connection of 192K. So, I mean, you'll actually have a very good experience for audio as well. You know, with most mobile users, I'm not sure how much of an impact that will have, but it's great to have, you know, for most DSL and then fiber users as well. I mean, fiber users won't really. They'll just get the best experience.
Yeah.
But the fidelity of the audio also went up. So you should be getting better audio quality regardless on Netflix programs.
Sounds fantastic. When is this launching? Is it immediate?
It should be launched already. This was beginning of the month.
And you don't need to do anything in settings. Will it automatically deliver to you depending on your line speed?
Yeah, it should just automatically because it's adaptive, right? But you would be able to change, or there should be a way to change it manually, like you could with the video stream. I don't know. Can you actually do that still in Netflix?
I don't know.
Not that we actually look at it, but yeah, I think there is a way for you to just drop down the setting if you need to manually.
I must have a look.
Yes.
I'll have a look this nice evening when I'm Netflix and chilling. that's our news this week.
My Duncan, are we ready for that on this show?
let's move on to our moving rapidly along. Our winner and loser of the week. Our winner is Newsroom Africa. It's the new 24-hour news channel on DSTV, DSTV 405. Have you had a chance to? You didn't have DSTV, do you? No.
I cut the cord years ago.
It's pretty good, I must say. I watched an hour or so of it, mainly out of morbid curiosity after what happened with the launch of ANN7. If you remember the disaster that was the launch of ANN7, the spelling errors on the screen, the blank stares, the presenters who didn't have a clue of what they were doing. And this was professional. They'd clearly done a lot of background work. They were obviously keen to avoid the the social media hordes pointing fingers at them and laughing. And it was professional. It's really good. Kathy Mohlahlana, beg your pardon, Mohlahlana, the main anchor, did a very professional job on the first evening. And I didn't see any glitches or spelling errors or any issues at all. I was suitably impressed. So well done to the guys at Newsroom Africa. I'm still not keen on the spelling of the name of Newsroom Africa, Z.
I was just going to say, after K. that, you know, after a perfect launch, you know, spelling. Yeah, that could have. I would have liked to see something better, but yeah, I mean,
yeah.
Always good to see more news, kind of, you know, news presence out there. Just let's just hope they stay true to true to the mission.
Yeah, it's an amazing though, in a market the size of South Africa, that we've got three 24-hour news channels now. And that excludes the business channels like CNBC Africa and Business Day TV. We've got Newsroom Africa, ENCA, and SABC News. Three 24-hour news channels all on the DSTV platform, which is quite remarkable. And of course, there's now Open News, which is launched on OpenView HD. the free-to-air sister platform to ENCA and ETV. So make that four 24-hour news channels, which is quite incredible.
It must cost quite a few rand to put a show. I mean, you pay to have your show. Anybody can have a channel on DSTV, right, if you pay enough money, right? I would imagine, if the content's obviously good.
Well, these guys are getting paid by DSTV to be there.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah, DSTV is paying for all three of these channels. We don't know how much. The amount paid to the SABC was disclosed because that confidential document was leaked. But we don't know the other numbers. The rumor was 500 million a year to ENCA under their old contract, but I'm not sure how accurate that was. It's also apparently been cut since the renewal. But certainly MultiChoice is spending a good hundreds of millions of rands every year on 24-hour news.
Well, I assume they take the ad revenue. I mean, they thought the newsroom don't sell their own ads, I would assume. So it would be MultiChoice that would handle all of that. So, yeah, I mean,
maybe. Yeah.
It does show that there is some money in advertising, although... Yeah, it's. I guess it's just another tab of offering for MultiChoice at the end of the day.
Yes. But Newsroom Africa looks pretty good, and it doesn't have the Guptas behind it, so it's got some credibility too. So our loser this week is our president, Cyril Ramaphosa, who generally I think is doing quite a good job, but just a few days ago. Admittedly on the campaign trail, so we've obviously got to take this with a pinch of salt, but he said there'll be no job cuts at Eskom. This is despite the World Bank saying that Eskom is at least 66% overstaffed. We know that Eskom is in dire straits. It's got huge debt problems. It needs to right size, if I can use that terminology. Yet the president says no, there are going to be no job cuts at Eskom. I have my doubts somehow.
Yeah, it's sad. It's very sad.
What's your pick this week, Rehat?
So, you know the struggle that we have with finding good, really good photography online that you can use for stuff, you know, open source or Creative Commons artwork. You know, I use Adobe Stock with my subscription, which is a great service. I love it.
Very limited, though, but in terms of what you're allowed to use.
Well, no, there's a lot you can use. Well, yeah, you only get a few months, but I mean, you know, you stock it up, so I've always got about 20, 30 items revolving. But it's always good to have an alternative source just to get a viewpoint. But the key thing with most stock sites is the stock photography generally looks like stock photography,
yes,
right?
Yes.
That's a big problem. So I came across this awesome website called unsplash.com, and it is just amazing photographs that you can use for free. Now, obviously, there's some limits. I'm sure you can't, do a full-on Microsoft can't use these for an ad campaign or something like that. But within limited use, you'll be able to do a lot with these photographs. And there's some stunning, stunning pieces. There's stuff that you'd want to print out or use on a website, perhaps. And splash.com. This is kind of editorial quality stock photography. You know, it's really good stuff, and it's free.
That's amazing.
Well worth checking out.
I'm definitely going to have a look at that because we're always looking for stock photography for Tech Central. You can never get enough of this stuff. Definitely going to have a look. That's a great pick. Thanks, Rehat. My pick this week is a new app for iPad. Very old franchise, of course, but they've just released a new one in augmented reality. And I'm talking about Angry Birds AR Isle of Pigs, which I was having enormous fun with this week.
Basically, the best case study for AR.
Yes, absolutely. So I was at my coffee table outside, and I set up my coffee table as a staging post for a massive Angry Birds fight. And it's brilliant. My iPad's a bit heavy. I've got the 12.9-inch iPad. So it gets a bit tiring holding it up in front of the table all the time. I think it might work better if you have an iPhone. It was fantastic. Had this whole Angry Birds situation unfolding on my coffee table. What was really funny, while I was shooting these birds into the castle to try and kill the pigs and knock down the castle, my dog, I have a Boston Terrier, and anyone who knows that breed knows it has very large pointed ears. So while I was pointing my iPad at the table, these two ears appear behind the castle. And it was very tempting. It almost felt like I wanted to take my iPad and shoot a bird at the dog's ears. That's how quickly you get immersed in it. You feel that is actually part of the experience. Ooh, what's that over there?
AR is definitely the future of VR gaming. I mean, VR is immersive and everything, but it's that digital overlay that makes things interesting.
Absolutely.
Would this ever come to Android?
I presume it's coming. I think they've just released it first on iOS. I presume it'll come to Android. Android supports AR as well. Mm. So I presume it's going to come there. I haven't really played around a lot with AR before playing around with this new Angry Birds game. I do feel that it's going to be much better. It's going to be a much better experience wearing AR glasses than using an iPad or a phone. And I'm starting to see why Tim Cook is so excited about the technology, actually, and why I think Apple may, in fact, be developing a pair of AR glasses as well.
Yeah, interesting. I mean, I'm still a big fan of Microsoft's HoloLens. I think, you know, that technology in smaller iterations or in a smaller version, obviously, is the key. You know, again, I want to just put my glasses on and have these little lenses do the work for me. And that is definitely on the cards in the future, without a doubt. We just need for the tech to become commercially viable. I'm sure there's something in a lab somewhere that's pretty close. I mean, we've got contact lenses with that's able to display data. So, I mean, that's been around for a while now.
Yes.
We don't know what's in those R&D labs, right?
Yes.
Some pretty cool stuff.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. So Frank in the YouTube comments asks, please, guys, repeat the name of the pick before moving on. Sure, I'm not sure which pick you wanted us to repeat. My pick was the Angry Birds AR game, Isle of Pigs, available exclusively, I think, for iPad at the moment. Might be on iPhone, but I think it's iPad only. And Rechot, your pick was unsplash.com.
Yes, and I just quickly had a look at the licensing thing here. It says here, you do not need to ask permission. You can use these pictures for commercial and non-commercial purposes. You don't need to ask permission or provide credit to the photographer.
Wow, okay.
Although it's appreciated when possible. I mean, that's pretty cool. The photographs are fantastic. So.
Have you seen Pixabay.com?
Yes, I don't use it often. I mean,
I use it quite a bit. Pixabay is great. It sounds like a similar sort of service. To Unsplash.
Yeah, it does. It's pretty similar. Mm. Although Unsplash, the photographs are just at first glance, so much nicer.
Okay.
Well, I mean, that's just what they push to the front, I guess.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm definitely going to go and have a look at that. And I think, Rechot, that's our show, apart from our quiz results. Let me do the first question. Who was appointed to chair a new advisory board for MTN Group? And that's former South African President Thabo Mbeki.
Second question, what is the name of the new 24 Hours news channel on DSTV that launched last week, replacing the now defunct Gupta-owned ANN7? And the answer is Newsroom Africa, obviously with a Z and with a K.
They're never going to live that one down. Takealot launched a new flagship customer collection center in Gauteng this week. Where is it located? And that's on the New Road Bridge on the N1 in Midrand in Johannesburg.
Somebody should time the drive-thru and see how quickly it takes. Quicker than a McDonald's drive-thru to get your product?
Yeah, quick. Yeah, see how long it takes for your kawaii wrap to get to get made and whether your delivery will come from down the spiral chute.
If you time it right, you can probably pre-order via Mr. Delivery or something to collect at kawaii as well. So. Yes. Technology at work.
Absolutely.
The fourth question. Which former Google CEO has said he is stepping down from the board of the parent company Alphabet? And the answer is Eric Schmidt.
And how long will former WikiLeaks editor Julian Assange spend in jail in the UK for skipping bail when he sought refuge in the Ecuadorian embassy in London? And it's 50 weeks. And that's our show. Have a quick look while we were chatting at my itinerary for the coming days. I will indeed be back next Sunday, Rechot. So if you're around, we will podcast.
I have to be now, right? I made plans already, but I'll cancel. No, let's do it.
Let's do it, yeah, absolutely.
Awesome.
And we'll be brave enough for the first time next Sunday to tweet out and share on the socials before we go live with this video podcast. So please do join us on YouTube. And join us in the comments section. The real reason we're doing this is not to get our ugly mugs onto the internet, but to get you guys involved in the discussion. And we'd really love you to join us in the YouTube comments while we record this show live every Sunday at 1 o'clock. But we'll share it out on the socials next Sunday. I am hoping to have a beautiful green screen behind me by this time next week. Probably not. All you'll be seeing next week is green, because I'm going to require some time to figure out how to use it. We'll be fiddling with lighting, certainly on my side of things. Rechard, I think, has already done a lot of work on his side. You're lit up very nicely there, and your background is looking beautiful.
It's many years in the work, Duncan. Many years in the work.
I'm definitely letting the side down here. So I'm going to have to do some work to catch up with you there, Rechard.
Well, with your green screen, you could literally transport it anywhere. You can sit on the Starship Enterprise bridge if you want.
Now we're talking. I need to figure out how to do it exactly. We're using Google, what's this called, Hangouts on Air at the moment. I suspect we're going to have to use OBS Studio, which is the most appallingly difficult piece of software to figure out. But one of these days I am going to RTFM and we are going to figure out how to use OBS, and this is all going to be looking amazing.
The new RTFM is YouTube FM. No, that doesn't make sense. But yeah, YouTubing the steps for, we just need to spend some time. But yeah, essentially chroming out that green screen is not too difficult. You just press a few buttons and it knows, and you just need to replace that back image.
And it may in fact be possible in Google Hangouts on Air. I just haven't got around to pressing all these fancy little buttons on the left, like control room and cameraman. we'll figure them out
I think it'll be, but lighting is the other key. Green screen won't work if your lighting isn't spot on,
because
then you will just look like you are photoshopped on on a nice backdrop.
And Rochelle, thanks for the message on YouTube. Says he caught the end, but glad to be here. I'm an avid listener to the podcast. Well, thanks for joining us, Rochelle, and everyone listening. We encourage you and invite you to join us next Sunday, 1 o'clock. No pressure on us. We'll be live here on YouTube. Please join the discussion, and we look forward to hosting you and taking your questions and joining and you having you join the discussion. From Rechard and myself, I've thoroughly enjoyed this chat. Until next time, cheers.
Ciao, ciao.